A61.
Number 18B.
Whereas in, and so the same here, we speak about the counterfeits of anything. The counterfeit of action, the counterfeit of creator, the counterfeit of law, huh? The counterfeit of power we had. We talked always about counterfeit of all the ideas, no matter if we were talking about the ideas in mind or in spirit or in soul or in principle, but the very belief that an identity can be a non-identity. Huh? The very belief is that there is a counterfeit to an identity. And this is the great deep problem that we have to deal with in everyday life, that we feel that there is always a counterfeit to something, that we never get the real thing, that we never get the real identity, that always something will be distorted, that something will be defaced, that something will be all the opposite we had. We have something is blurred, marred, that we never get really the original. All right. So, can you see that we need soul as that fact of being which tells us don't be afraid that something can be turned into its opposite, that something can be reversed into its opposite. Because that is all the belief that something can have its counterfeit. What else do we have as a noumenon? Opposite, yes, material senses against spiritual senses, against spiritual understanding, yes, they too want to testify, they too want to define the identities, they define the material identities, so they are actually the very opposite. So whenever we feel that the material sense define anything, we can see we have to exchange that for the spiritual sense, that we ask spiritual sense. The moment material sense testifies to something, testifies to pain, testifies to lack, testifies to inharmony, testifies to anything, then we can say, well, this is a counterfeit, so let's go to the fact. Let's go to the fact and let's see what is spiritual understanding testifying. What does spiritual sense testify? How does spiritual sense define a situation? How does spiritual sense look at the situation and give us a report and a testimony of the situation, and the whole thing changes at once? That's the reversal. You further have body. You said body as a counterfeit of soul. And further, usually what Mrs. Eddy uses is sin. Sin, missing the mark. The Old Testament definition of sin is missing the mark. It's interesting how the term sin changed in the course of the spiritual evolution. In the Old Testament, sins means missing the mark. If it is, sin is therefore everything that does not define things exactly. That it misses, so to say, the true identity, the true definition of anything. Whereas in the New Testament, sin is something different. Paul would always define sin. I don't think you would know it, or how the New Testament defines sin, not by faith. Then he says, this is sin. And under faith, he understood not blind belief. The New Testament sense of faith was spiritually, to understand spiritually. So he had a new sense of sin, namely, not to understand spiritually. Try to understand something materially or humanly or corporeally. And so his sense of sin was no more the Old Testament sense of sin. And you can see again he had a sense of soul in it. That he could see sin is when we do not spiritually understand. But can you see how much sin today is a proposition, a scientific proposition, and no more a moral proposition? And it indicates that as long as we don't understand spiritually, we have a human belief, and he would call that sin. Mrs. Eddy has a new definition of sin. She doesn't use sin in that way, neither in the Old Testament sense nor in the New Testament sense. She shows that the most deadliest weapon against sin is oneness with God. So she defines sin as the absence of identifying ourselves with God. And so she has a new, a higher sense of sin. Can you see how a term changes with the development of a spiritual idea? The moment it undergoes, say, the development of the Word and the Christ to Christianity and then to science, a term like sin always takes on a new connotation. Basically, it's more or less the same, but it receives a new connotation according to the age in which we live. So today, sin is when we don't identify ourselves to be one with God, to be one with mind, with spirit, with soul, with principle, life, truth, and love. And we can see how much of a sinner we are. The trouble is only that we don't like the term. But actually this is now understandable, because soul is identity. It says to us, identify yourself with the identities of being. Because there is only one identity, again you have, identity is the reality at the deepest level, where object and subject is one, where the object, the divine object, is God himself, and the subject, our consciousness of God, is one. Then we have identity of spiritual understanding with the object. So we gain a much more scientific sense of sin in the textbook. Mm-hmm. What else do you have as counterfeits or opposites of soul?
Suffering.
Yes. Suffering. Everything that has to do with physical senses, be it now sensation, be it suffering, ecstasy, emotion, pleasures, sorrow, everything that has to do with the sensuous nature of matter is the opposite of soul. Why? Why on earth is that so? Again, I come like a little boy. Why? Huh? We must understand why. We can easily learn it by heart. That's not very difficult. But to understand means to see the relationship, yes?
There's no sensation in soul, so the opposite would be sensation.
Yes?
Sensation is material, associated with the material.
Mm-hmm. It's material.
So the opposite
would be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you satisfied with that answer? You may be, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Soul is outside the body, Yeah? So whatever is inside the body must be the counterfeit of soul. And as you say, in the body, when do we have sensation? As a brick sensation? As a rock sensation? Why has our body sensation?
It's more mind that has sensation.
Yeah. The moment you see, we try to put mind or spirit into body. The moment we have soul in something, we have sensation. If we don't have it in, we don't have sensation. Yeah. So it has actually to do with that sense that we believe that mind and spirit is in something. If we wouldn't believe that, we wouldn't have any sensation. I always am quite successful against pain when I have to treat somebody or so against heavy pain. That I see that mind, capital M, spirit, capital S, can never be in something. And I say, why does 4 times 4 = 16 not suffer? That should suffer. Why doesn't it suffer? Because it's never in any limitation. A truth that is not in a limitation never suffers. Anything truth that you put into limitation begins to suffer. Anything that is unlimited in limitation, you have suffering. No matter if it's physical suffering, or if the bookkeeping suffers, or if the business suffers, the moment you see the ideas in something, in people, in a firm, in money, in, you begin to suffer. It brings suffering, so. If you see wealth and supply in anything limited, we begin to suffer. Because there is always limitation put on it. So I always say, well, 2 times 2 = 4 never suffers. Why? Because it has absolutely no limits. It has no corporeality, it has no limits, it's never in anything. It's quite effective. The moment we don't put any truth in something, we liberate it from the corporeality suffering. The moment you have a body, the moment you have a confined form of anything, be it a business, be it a house, be it a family, you have suffering. The moment you limit it. So suffering is not just a body that suffers with nerves. It is the belief that mind and spirit is restricted to something. That suffers. The body doesn't suffer. And the nerves don't suffer. It's the belief that the bigger is in the lesser that brings about suffering. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Is there anything about the opposite that you would like to discuss about soul? Yes?
This life that you presented, the sensation and all of that is involved, that's not phenomenal, is it?
In a way it is. It's a belief that soul is not in anything. You can take it as big as that. The phenomenon would be joy, well, sadness. All right. So we go to the next subject, which we usually take. Namely, how a synonymous term translates itself to the human emotion, to the human motion, to the human attitude. You know what I'm doing? You know where I am? Yeah. We always said, with every synonymous term, we said that the ideas of a synonymous term translate themselves to the human and awaken in the human or bring forth in the human a certain attitude, human attitude, which reflects the synonymous term. Yes? So you are with me now, you see? You have now identified your consciousness with my consciousness, Yeah. What did we say in mind? Can you remember? What is a human emotion in mind?
Wisdom.
Wisdom, yes. Yeah. We said wisdom. What else?
Desire.
Desire. What else? Seeking. Yes. Others. Turning to the light. Yes. What else? Willingness for what? To lay down the mortal?
No. willing
disciple.
Student.
Willing to learn. Huh? Willing to be a student. To investigate. Yes. To study. To learn. And it's something that is should be innate in your character. Why on earth should you study Christian Science if you don't want to learn it, not study it, nor seek for it? You are here because of that motion. You wouldn't be here if that motion would not be here. If you wouldn't like to learn, to learn more, to seek more, to study, to investigate, to seek for more enlightenment, to know that I don't know, but I want to know. The first beatitude. This is the first beatitude that. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who know that they don't know, and therefore they want to know more. Yes? That's why you are here, so this is nothing extraneous. Okay, what did we say in spirit?
Choose the right.
Choose the right. Yes? Choosing, Yes?
From evil.
Turn away from evil. Is that enough? Turn towards the good, did you forget the signs hula? Turn away from evil, turn to the good, Don't you live signs? Do you only read signs? Don't you live? This is life, this is, Worship, yes. Beg your pardon?
Baptism,
all right, yeah. First? No. Oh, no. Is birth your human attitude towards spirit?
The birth of the idea.
Yeah, of the idea. Birth is not an attitude you take. Birth is what comes out of your attitude. Yeah?
Worship.
Worship we had already, but it was so soft that you couldn't hear it, yes?
Understanding.
Understanding. Oh, no.
Struggle.
Struggling, perhaps. Let's say striving. It's a bit nicer. Yes. Yes.
Putting first things first.
Putting first things first, yes. Go on. Fading and dawning. Yes. Is that an attitude or is that something that happens? Can you see what you do? You think in words. It's still words. It's not life. It's not life attitude. You think, what is there on that list? What can I take out of that list? What can I do? Item on that list, It isn't you.
We haven't had any long winter nights yet.
No, you All right, we go to soul. What do you have? What did we have there as attitudes?
Self-abnegation.
Yeah.
Stick to it,
That's an attitude that we have to take, Well, yeah, like that, yeah. Stick to it, Yeah.
Higher control of the lesson.
Oh, no.
Satisfactory?
No.
That's an attitude.
Is that an attitude to take?
Yes, you're either satisfied or dissatisfied. That's an attitude, yeah.
Yes.
Yes. You have the capacity.
Mm-hmm. Well, well, well. Huh? Well, you never heard anything that you go away from sense to soul, through hell and high water and through the wilderness and don't mind it and persevere in it, huh? And stick to it and don't give up and don't turn back and go forward and don't look backward and don't transform backward, but you go forward. Huh? You never heard anything about that, huh? Well, if we don't have the... You see, the synonyms are us. If we don't have that in us, we never go anywhere. We just read the textbook. But you could just as well read a book on chemistry. It would have the same effect. Reading doesn't do a thing. See, these synonymous terms are within us. They are our life fiber. Can you say? Life fiber, the fiber of our whole being. These terms are not somewhere up in the air or in a notebook. They are us. Yeah? And therefore, if we don't have that attitude, you see, like soul, that you really go in spite of everything from sense to soul, that you stick to it, that you are a sticker, that you are tough, that you go forward, that you don't give in, that you don't go backward, that you occupy until I come, that you never turn backward, that you never look backward, that you always look forward, and that you take all your energies and put into it to go forward. If you don't do that, you never arrive anywhere. You can read the lessons another 20 years and you are just at the same place where 20 years before. Doesn't do a thing. Are you with me? Huh? It doesn't do a thing. You know, reading doesn't do a thing. Reading is just a help to say, all right, you must put your thought a bit in another way, and now you must culture another consciousness, and now when you culture another consciousness, you must culture another being within you, and you must put up another show within you, and then you get out of the letter, and then it becomes being. Huh? Without that, reading doesn't do a thing. Reading is just like moonbeams on the polar ice. Doesn't melt anything, doesn't cut any ice. Nothing at all. Though they are beings. So, see, that's the life problem. Yeah, so that's soul, huh? In where Mrs. Eddy shows really this drive towards identifying ourselves under any circumstances with the highest we know. Even if we fail sometimes, that doesn't matter. Soul says, you go the way. No matter if you have some hard back, knocks, huh? Doesn't matter, huh? Even if you have some crisis, doesn't matter. Even if you fail sometime, doesn't matter. Just pull up your socks again and get on again, huh? This is soul. Pull up your socks, huh? Go on again. That's soul. It isn't in the textbook, those terms, but that's the tone of it. Huh? Not to give in.